You're listening to the Magic Media Podcast, bringing you the latest news, stories, and insights about the ever-growing gaming, tech, and entertainment industry. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the magic. Welcome back to the latest episode of the Magic Media Podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Farrell, and I have an exciting and action-packed episode for you. I'll be speaking with my guest, Arik Ben-Ari, who is the co-founder and creative director of Igloo Creative House and Igloo Gaming, a creative house and animation studio specializing in video ads and video productions for marketing needs. We're delighted to announce that Igloo is the latest company to be joining the continuously expanding Magic Media Company. Welcome to the team, everyone. But before we get started with our guest, here's the latest news in the gaming industry. On PC, an Elden Ring exploit has been discovered that corrupts saves files and sends gamers into an endless debt cycle. The announcement comes after From Software published a massive patch focused on weapon balance and correcting PC performance concerns. Apart from Sekiro, all Souls games have an invader mechanism that allows an online player to enter your session and challenge you to a combat or simply be toxic by murdering you repeatedly. This new vulnerability is like the previous one, in which hackers may infiltrate an Elden Ring game and alter the host data, causing the game to crash. Restarting the game will throw the player character into an endless debt cycle, where they will continue to plummet into the abyss. Fortunately, From Software quickly responded to these customer complaints. They released Leia's patch update for PC, which resolved this issue along with a few other bugs, including one in multiplayer that allowed players to teleport others to incorrect map coordinates. Turning to our next story, more exciting news for Witcher fans as CD Projekt Red just announced the latest installment, The Witcher 4, is currently in development. What's interesting to know is that the game is taking a massive leap as the team are dropping the Red engine for Unreal 5. Not only is The Witcher 4 swapping engines, but it's also signifying the start of a closer relationship between CD Projekt Red and Epic Games. This is a two-way partnership that will help to build the engine around a whole new subsect of games. In a blog post announcing this exciting news, CD Projekt Red concluded, "At this point, no further details regarding the game, such as the development timeframe or release date, are available. Red Engine, the technology which powers Cyberpunk 2077, is still being used for the development of the upcoming Cyberpunk 2077 expansion." And our final story, Valve's Steam Deck is becoming increasingly appealing. The list of games that can be playable is steadily growing, and Microsoft has already verified that Xbox Studio games are compatible with the Steam Deck. Valve CEO Gabe Newell recently told PC Gamer that he'd be pleased to collaborate with Microsoft to bring Game Pass to Steam. Now Microsoft has piqued everyone's interest by disclosing that the Xbox Cloud Gaming Service would be available on the portable console. Microsoft collaborated closely with Valve to deliver this feature to Steam Deck, which is accessible via a Linux version of Microsoft Edge. Well, that's all we have time for with our news section, but don't worry, we'll be keeping you all up to date on our social media accounts. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, and Instagram so you don't miss out. Up next, I'll be joined by my guest Arik, who'll be speaking to me about all things animation for gaming. Arik, thank you so much for coming on to the second episode of the Magic Media Podcast. It's great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Welcome to the Magic Media family. This is really, really exciting. So for our listeners, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself, your role, and Igloo?
Yeah, so first, I'm super happy to join. We are Igloo, happy to join the Magic Media family, and we can't wait to see where it will take us. We think it can take us to some great places. Mm-hmm. I founded Igloo 7 years ago with my partner, Dan, who's in charge of the business aspect. I act as the creative director at the studio.
Brilliant.
Which means I'm leading the team through the creative process. I come up with the creative concepts. I'm kicking off projects with clients and basically making sure that everything is aligned with the creative direction and the creative vision. I'm coming from an animation background and storytelling background, script writing, etc. And I'm also in charge of the brand tone and voice of how Igloo is being perceived outside. So this is a bit about myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Igloo Creative is a creative house, is a creative agency and an animation studio. And basically, we have two main departments. The one is more focusing on traditional marketing content for a wide range of clients, from the tech industry to institutions, retails, startup companies, and entertainment purposes. It can be series, animated series, or TV commercials. And the other department is Igloo Gaming, which is dedicated solely to the gaming industry. Also on the marketing aspect, user acquisition videos, game trailers, cinematics, App Store videos, each creative material, any creative material that that a gaming company might need, we're up for it.
Wow, that's really impressive. And like, you guys sound like a perfect fit for joining the Magic Media family with how creative you guys are. And what a varied skill set you guys have. Like, so that's amazing.
Yeah. Having Magic Media focusing both on the gaming industry and the entertainment industry also made a perfect fit for us, because this is the two main vectors that we are really focused on, and mm-hmm. we're willing to move on in these directions.
Well, that leads into my first question, really, that what I've been noticing is that just looking at my social media, like especially on LinkedIn and Twitter, and I've been seeing more video ads on my feed. And we were wondering, like, if you'd be able to share some insights why animated and interactive or playable ads have become so popular in the past couple of years, if you guys know.
Well, I think that first, for years, people talk about video becoming more and more prominent and becoming like the main medium for, to get messages across. And I think that we're in this era, and the time is now for video to become more accessible and become the number one creative and promotional tool. Mm-hmm. And I think that also people got used to it, and people got to be more familiar with, more sensitive to the quality of video. And of course, with video, you can get more messages across than, you know, on static ads or in like in textual promotions. So I guess the time for video to be the main medium is now. But what I find interesting also is that video became mostly in the gaming industry, but I think it, in every industry, mm-hmm. video, even like the simplest video ad became way more sophisticated, both in the creative aspect and both in the production value, because again, people got more and more sensitive to the quality that they receive in their feed. So you get to see high level productions, and in parallel, you get to see some low cost ads or raw video ads, mostly in networks like TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. But they have a very smart creative. They are very specifically targeted to their audience, and they are very witty and creative. And I think that it reflects how sensitive the audience has become to quality.
Yeah,
people are looking for this quality, and with video you can bring it on, whether with some high level productions or with the simplest production, but with a strong creative, and it works.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've noticed there you were mentioning about TikTok, and that, you know, it tailors to your feed, and it isn't just as simple of, oh, you get to get suggested random videos like on YouTube, but now it's all kind of part of the algorithm. You'd like a video, and next thing you know, you like a cute video with some dogs in it or something, and next thing you open up TikTok the following day, and all the videos that are being tailored to you are like cute videos with animals and cute videos with dogs and stuff, you know?
Sure. You need to make a lot of cute videos with dogs, you know, to reach this entire audience, but yeah.
No, it absolutely is an effective way of getting across the brand messaging, and, you know, video examples. Like, people nearly prefer video testimonials, because I don't know what it is that if you have a written testimonial, some people could be like, oh, anyone in the company could have written that, and they just slapped a company's name on it and said they said this. But when you have a video testimonial, actually see one of your customers like talk about how great the services are, it's more authentic. It's more believable, really.
And also with video, you can really test. You can do really extensive tests. I mean, you can try different editings, different music, different font, different messaging. You can mm-hmm. do it quite easily and spread it across the social channels. And you can get with a single video production, you can get lots of materials for your marketing needs. So
absolutely.
So again, it's another advantage.
Yeah, and just leading on to my next question there, like, how important is animation to the gaming industry, do you think?
I think that animation and design in general and illustration in general is one of the key elements that differentiate the gaming industry. Like in movies, it really helps building, you know, this imaginary world, this fantasy world, and it can help you like better express certain emotions, certain feelings. So I think that animation really is the enabler for creating this beautiful world, so which is so important for this industry. I mean,
you can really tell a story, like a really powerful story with animation, and you can do much more creative ideas with it as well.
Yeah, it basically you have no boundaries with animation. So if you want to make like this, you know, it's no wonder that most of the video games are, you know, are more like fantasy oriented or talk about like this imaginary world or imaginary fantasy, imaginary reality that animation really enables it.
So like your experience with Igloo, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the process of creating an animated ad for a client. So would you be able to guide me through what the steps involved are and how long it would usually take for you guys to make an animated ad?
So the first step is defining the goal, defining what's the ad's goal, where it's going to be distributed, or what we want to get out of it. I mean, like if you're working on a user acquisition ad with a clear goal for downloads or that has like a short shelf life, you need a different approach, different state of mind, rather than like a game trailer that you want to mostly create like this wow effect or raise awareness. So first of all, the first step is defining the goal of the ad. The second step is doing some research, is looking at competitors, looking some, you know, doing some internal brainstorming and coming up with you know, with the best ideas to really reach these goals. If it's, again, if it's a user acquisition ad, we would like to maybe emphasize, you know, the coolest part of the game or some cool characters or not necessarily gameplays, but some scenarios in the game that might be very appealing to users. Of course, depending on who the potential users are. Mm-hmm. And of course, if it's a game trailer, we usually try to build a tight story around it, an interesting story around the game. Sometimes a game, mostly in mobile games and casual games, the story, the background story is not that rich. You know, they have like nice design, nice characters, nice background, but it doesn't necessarily have this extensive background. So we do create this. We try to come up with creative that really enriches the graphics and what the game has to offer. So once the creative stage is through, we move on to writing a detailed script, and then we move on to storyboarding, getting some style frames, which is the design that we aim for, like a representation of two or three frames that represent the final look and feel that we're aiming for. And once we go over with that stage, we move on to the whole production, which means designing the whole video ad or the trailer, whatever it is, and going into animation, sound design, like the, you know, the traditional process.
Mm-hmm. It's a very thorough process. There's a lot of thinking behind it, and you really have to plan it out carefully, don't you?
Yeah, you need to work carefully. You need to have each stage, you know, aligned with the creative direction and aligned with the brand, whether it's a game, the game's guidelines. And usually, what we do when it's a video ad for, you know, for promotional uses or for getting more users in, we also a lot of the time we come up with several creatives to test which works better. It can be like minor differences. Doesn't necessarily have to be like a whole different creative, but trying to approach it through the gameplay, or maybe trying to approach it through a certain character that might look interesting or might have a nice story to tell, or even might approach it like as a live action ad, where when we focus on like a real player who's playing the game, just an example. But once you have like several creative directions, you can see which works best, and then you can really dive into this to a certain direction, and then you can start build upon it, like different creatives, and get more accurate in the results you're trying to achieve.
Well, that's great. It kind of leads on to my next question as well there, because I'm kind of curious, how do you guys stay ahead of the game when creating content? Like, how do you and your team produce fresh ideas for clients, like moving on from those four or five different examples that you guys have and choosing which is the best one? How do you keep everything alive?
Okay, so first, we, as I mentioned at the beginning, we're a creative agency. Our passion is coming up with ideas, with coming up with creatives. Mm-hmm. I mean, our execution skills are just an excuse for coming up with cool creatives. So being a creative-driven studio, inherently, we're keeping ourselves fresh and always coming up with new ideas and new clients, and this is also part of the services that clients want from us, coming up with creatives. But also, we're working with lots of clients, and getting to know new clients, new games, always sends us to find new references, looking out for for what's trending in the market, looking out for new ads, for new techniques, for new trends. So this is really keeps us
kind of fresh. Yeah, like ahead of the curve, basically.
Yeah, it really keeps us fresh, and we do some. We even sometimes get some insights from our clients. I mean, we have some clients that are very focused in a certain industry, mm-hmm. or in a certain game category. And they provide us with, look at these ads. And they too can open our minds for new trends, for new things to look. And then we can,
take it to the next level.
Yeah, but you can use a trend from a certain category and to use it in another category. So
you basically kind of take what you learn and move it on to a new area and kind of apply the idea. Yeah. No, that's really cool. And you were mentioning about trends there as well. With that, where do you see animated and interactive and playable ads evolve in the coming years? Like, where do you see things going? Like, we mentioned that video has become extremely popular, and that's kind of shot up properly in the past couple of years. Like, where do you see the next steps, basically?
So I see video ads, and maybe it's a wishful thinking, but I see it becoming more and more creative driven and narrative driven, because there's a saying that content is king. It's becoming almost a cheesy saying, but it always proves itself.
It's still true. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think that again, as I said before, that people become more and more sensitive to quality, to story. Then I see that I can see that in the near future we will see less of the generic gameplay ads with certain callouts and generic callouts and just editing based ads, and more sophisticated stories, sophisticated creatives. You can see even in mobile games, like I see now lots of ads for a game, Merge Mansion, mm-hmm. Which is a super casual game, but it has suddenly I started seeing creatives that are live action and 3D creatives with a funny story and humoristic story behind them. You can see Plarium's Raid Shadow Legends. They have also these creatives with the characters who are really off the game. They are the main characters of the game, but they act differently on the video ads. They have like a different personality on the ad.
Oh, yes.
And they have like so much character, and they're funny, and they have like story. They go on, they're sitting on therapy. They go to therapy together, and they have like this
marriage counseling kind of thing. I think I saw one of them as well before.
Yes.
it could have been Raid, or else it was like World of Warcraft, and it was like a giant ogre character, and they were both sitting like in a chair.
Yeah.
In a therapy session. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I think it's a bold decision to take the ads to this place, but I think that the audience understands it, and I think that people want to see something different rather than just show me the game and that's it. I want to feel connected to the characters before I join the game. I want to see you can really tell the tone of the company, the character of the company who made the game through its video ads. And I think that, yeah, we're getting towards this place of being, more story-oriented rather than just features-oriented.
Yes, absolutely. And I think people as well, they like it when a company has a sense of humor and kind of like mocks itself. And, you know, like we were just saying about the therapy session, that, you know, it's such a bizarre thing to look at, but at the same time, it's extremely memorable.
Yeah. And when I see this, the first thing you do is you just go to the, you know, to the Play Store and just check it out. What's this game, and, you know, who's the company behind it? I think that generally the audience is much more sophisticated than we think it is.
And they're obviously, well, like, companies really like to tailor ads more just in line with their customer base. And just moving the conversation to a more personal level, you have, like, when I was researching you, you have a very colorful background working in the industry with an amazing portfolio. You seem to have your fingers in many pies, so to speak, working as a freelancer to creative director to even taking on a lecturer role. What was the most memorable experience?
The most memorable experience? I think that I have lots of memorable experiences. But I think that one of the most memorable experiences was in a company that I was one of the founders there, one of the co-founders. Mm-hmm. It was like 10 years ago, and we created this sort of gathering area, like a virtual pub on Facebook. Basically, it's like it was like the metaverse just 10 years ago. It's now a big mobile gaming company.
Oh, wow.
I think that when we raised our first first funding, it was like it was a memorable moment, you know, just to see that, okay, we came up with this idea and we're going places. It's going to come true. So this was a very memorable moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the main things coming up, you know, is founding this studio. And at our first year or something, we always ended each day, you know, we stood at the door at the entrance of the studio before closing the door and then shutting out the lights and saying to ourselves, like, we won another battle. So these are the memorable moments. I mean, like the first 2 years of the studio, when things starting to build up, And you see that it's going to last, and you see like that it's growing and it's going to some good places. So each day we look at the tiny office that we had back then, like this 25 square meters office, and everyone going home and we shutting the lights. So I think these are some memorable moments. You know, just
absolutely. You should be very proud of that. Like, it's starting any business is a huge achievement. And just those early days are always like, you know, you've got so much potential and like you've got so many dreams and yeah. You know, things are starting off. You get your first clients. You get like you hired the first team members. It's all very, very exciting and it keeps yourself busy. And next thing you know, fast forward to a couple of years later, and you've got hundreds of clients or hundreds of workers in your offices and you've expanded. So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. I remember the first time when we introduced ourselves, yeah, we were Igloo, and the client tells us, yeah, I heard about you. And you're like, wow, why would you hear about me? But
word travels faster on the network, which is always good, especially with creatives. So
yeah.
And have any of those previous roles that you've worked as, like the freelancer and creative director, lecturer, like have any of them kind of fallen into one another? Have you seen like apply any techniques that you've learned but move them into a different job? Like when you were a lecturer, did you find that your public speaking or anything like that about leading a team did that bleed into the other role or anything?
Absolutely. So actually, I think that my current role, like managing a studio, is really the sum of my experience in you know, in the previous roles and in my career. Mm-hmm. Because I started with animation. I started with my love for animation. I decided to study animation when I was, I think, 11 years old. I saw Lion King in the cinema, and I knew I want to be an animator. That's what I want to do with my life. So there was no question. I'm going for animation, but I always had one foot also in graphic design and visual communication. I really also attracted to this medium. So during my studies, I even considered moving to the visual communication department, but stayed with animation. And but my first role, my first professional job that I got was being a Flash animator in a branding studio, in a visual communication studio.
Cool.
So I learned there a lot about, you know, about typography and composition and about brand messaging. And then I went on to co-found a startup company. And I was there one of the leading artists. So there I learned about starting a company and starting a product of your own. And then I moved on in this more of a startup world. I was a product designer, and I was in the marketing department and in the creative department. So around 7 years ago, I decided that I want to go back to animation. I want to go back home. I want to make animation. I want to make videos.
Cool.
And I think that all this this experience really, like in a funnel where things get,
it all kind of comes together. Yeah.
Yeah. It all came together to this role, because in the studio and also lecturing and giving, you know, and transferring knowledge and feedbacking my giving feedback to my students, mm-hmm. really all came down to this role where I, you know, we have the product, the studio's product, you know, the videos that the videos that we create and the creatives that we come up with, and having this knowledge in visual communication and in brand messaging and graphic design also really helped me.
Helped you hone the skills that you already had, and like kind of help with new roles, and even that you could learn more.
Yeah, it helps me. Yeah, it helps me really apply it to the thing that we do here in the studio. In, you know, video ads, they combine both typography and video editing and storytelling. And it needs to have a clear message, and it needs to drive a clear call to action. I think that all these roles that I took, both on the product side and on the marketing side and on the branding side, it really came together to the certain role that I'm doing now.
Yeah, it's almost like it was destiny that you had all these different other experiences leading up to this, and now that you're running a company, so
absolutely,
it's great that you can apply it. Yeah, I find that with a lot of creative jobs, especially my own as a content writer, and I've actually got a lot of friends in the animation industry here in Ireland. There's a lot of them, mm-hmm. and some of them have either branched out from mainline animation, working for big studios, to actually like, even changing to like graphic design, or, you know, it's still in the creative space, but it's just a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember first meeting them in my first year of college, and they were like, I'm dead set on becoming an animator. I'm going to, you know, I want to work for Disney, or I want to work for, you know, another big animation studio. And then as the years went on, they kind of realized, oh, wait, actually, I like animation, but I've also got these other skills in creative arts and stuff. And I could maybe apply that and even, you know, step out of the box a little bit and
exactly.
discover, you learn a little bit more about yourself, which is always a good thing.
Exactly. And, you know, every marketing department has its own video team. And this industry is so broad now. The video industry is so broad that you can really find it everywhere.
Yeah, everyone, I think every major business is really relying on marketing teams,
mm-hmm.
To kind of get their story across, get, you know. A big thing as well that we do with our own brands is culture posts, which seem like, you know, people want to know the people who work in the company. They like to have a face put to a company.
Mm-hmm.
So even on videos and stuff like that, they like to actually see people. Like I was saying at the start of this conversation about video testimonials, they've become very, very popular over the years, that they want to see a client actually say how happy they were with the company and, you know, all the work that they did, because it just feels more authentic.
More authentic, yeah. That's the key point.
That's it. And just wrapping up here now, if are there any major projects Igloo are currently working on that you can discuss or you'd like to talk about?
So yeah, we always have projects coming into to the studio, which are some of them are really interesting, some of them are nice, but some of them are really interesting. But we have some new titles from Warner Brothers, which they are really nice looking. They're on the mobile games department, but really nice looking. We get awesome graphics from them, and we have some awesome video ads that we're creating out of it. So
Cool. That's really exciting. Yeah. That's really, really exciting. That's awesome. That's really cool to hear. I'm excited to hear what you actually end up working on and see what the end result is. So I'm sure it'd be fantastic.
I'll send it to you personally.
Thank you. and just wrapping up, like we were kind of touching on it there, just about the animation industry and the games industry. But is there any more advice that you can give to our listeners involved in both the animation and the games industry that you'd like to share?
So I think that my general advice for, you know, both people with experience and both for people who just, you know, starting their journey in the industry, I would say that you should follow and embrace opportunities that you wouldn't necessarily thought you would bump into, but you can tell which skills you're going to collect along the way. So it really connects me to, you know, I also thought that you know, I want to be an animator in a studio, in a big studio, etc. But I got an opportunity to be an animator in a brand, you know, in a branding studio, and it taught me so much being there. And from there, I just followed opportunities. I wasn't picky, you know, trying to pursue this super, super, super specific role that if I won't get it, I just won't do it. Like, it's this or nothing. So I would say that don't be picky and trying to say yes to opportunities that
become available to you.
Yeah, become available. Yeah, you know, I never got the chance, you know, to work in an animation studio.
Oh yeah.
But I found myself founding one. and you know, I envy my employees for working in an animation studio, because it seems so much fun. But
you don't have the responsibility of all the management that comes behind it.
Yeah, they see, you know, and as a studio owner, I always look up for, you know, for the right pipelines and look to see how other studios are working. And I think that we have like a traditional and classic pipeline here in the studio. So I gave my employees the opportunity to, you know, to be an animator in a studio. But I think that I got to the position that I am because I tried different things and I wasn't picky and I was, you know, I embraced the opportunities. And again, you collect knowledge along the way.
Yeah.
And only on the next on your next phase in career or on your next stage, you realize what you've learned in your previous role or in your previous step. So so just say yes to opportunities and embrace it and learn from it as much as you can, because you're enriching your inventory and you don't know when you're going to use it and how you're going to use it. And it's always a good thing to have lots of skills and lots of knowledge and to be versatile in what you can provide. So this is my advice.
That's really inspiring advice. Thank you so much. It's always good. I mean, that this is applies to nearly every role, not just for animation or the games industry, actually, that, like, we're always constantly learning. We're always learning from our new jobs, our new roles. And
exactly, yeah.
It's don't be afraid to think outside the box and, you know, touch uncharted waters. I know that it can be a bit daunting, but we're always learning, even from our own mistakes, that, you know, just because you make a mistake doesn't mean that that's the end of the path.
Absolutely. Mistakes are inevitable.
Yeah, exactly. We always learn better from mistakes. Well, Arik, this is all we have time for, but thank you again for taking the time to record the second episode of the podcast with me. It was really interesting, really informative, and I really appreciate you joining me on the show and talking all things with animation.
It's going to be
an exciting time. I'm really looking forward to working with you guys more, so it's going to be good to see your names ping up on the Discord or the Slack channels or one of the many other channels we have. So
Yeah, absolutely.
We hope that some of our listeners now feel more secure after your words of wisdom. So if people wanted to contact you, where should they look? You have a LinkedIn, do you?
You can search igloogaming.com or igloocreative.co. You can search us on Facebook, Instagram. We're everywhere.
Brilliant. That's a key part of marketing as well, is make sure you're covered on all the social media channels. So
yeah.
Eric, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh.
Well, that was another fantastic episode. Another big thanks to Eric from Igloo for joining me on the podcast. We hope you found this both informative and entertaining. Be sure to catch up on our previous episode, which is available on all your favorite podcast platforms, including Buzzsprout and Spotify. And don't forget to stay tuned for next month's episode. We'll be sharing more information over the coming weeks on all social media. So be sure to give us a like, a share, and most importantly, a listen.